Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, the place you go to for free speech. And also, the place you go to when you're not going to NationalBugle.com, because NationalBugle.com is a place where you go to and download the Kosher-tified app for everybody who wants to be NKC, non-kosher certified. Today is, this is the Wednesday show. It's the Patrick and Jeremy show. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, and welcome to the Patrick and Jeremy show. You're guiding light in a sea of Talmudic media lies.
Oh my God. I think I've heard that before. Is it deja vu all over again? Well,
like
yeah, we are going to start off, let's just go straight into it. Are we going to start off with something from Farron Schoaf's show from about a year ago?
Yeah, I thought it would be fun, you know, as you and some of our loyal, longtime audience members know, I'm known for being able to call into talk radio shows during 2016, And late 2015, during the Trump campaign, I called into Sean Hannity. I called into Rush Limbaugh several times. And I also called into Mark Levin. Now, I tried to send you a Mark Levin audio rewind podcast where I trolled Levin big time. But we couldn't get that to play, so we're still researching that. I think I've got a friend who actually downloaded that whole episode.
Okay, so maybe we'll get to it in another week.
Maybe I can get him to send that to me. But I trolled Levin and Mark Levin, you know, back in 2016 was a never Trumper, and he was a Ted Cruz fanatic. As a matter of fact, Patrick, I think Levin had shirtless pictures of Ted Cruz on his wall. Pretty sure.
Yeah, did you have to come in and paint over it because all the paint was sagging?
I would have to use like anti-gay paint if I did that.
Is there such a thing as anti-gay paint?
It's funny, you know, Levin is one of these right-wing Jewish media talking heads, and of course he started out as a never-Trumper. But once Trump won the election and he figured out that he was going to lose his entire radio audience,
he knew which side of his bagel had the Kvelta fish on it or whatever.
Exactly. He was very familiar with the side of the bagel that his butter was on and who buttered it, as a matter of fact.
And so was it kosher? Was it kosher certified?
Exactly. He is kosher certified. All of his talking points are. And he is now a defender of President Trump. But back in 2016...
Yeah, now that President Trump is like a pretty much a failure, I still may vote for him next year. I've never thrown him under the bus. I'm just being honest. Whoa. He is... I guess he thinks we did get tired of winning. He thinks we got tired of winning on election night and has been giving us a break from winning.
We've had the big break, yeah. It's been a break. At least we're not in war in the Middle East yet, not in a major war. And I would argue that we would have already been in multiple wars. Probably Syria would have had a regime change. I use that word sarcastically. If Hillary had been president, she would have already taken out Assad. So, I mean, there is some credit
she would have
to.
Yeah, she would have had him buggered with a bayonet, right? Or a machete or whatever it was.
Yeah, she would have given him the Gaddafi treatment.
She would have given him the Gaddafi, that's right.
The Gaddafi treatment. But, yeah, so back to these talking heads. So, you know, Levin, I mean, I trolled him. And we'll try to pull that audio up and maybe we'll play it on the show sometime. We couldn't get it tonight. Because it's been a memory hold. It was such a controversial episode on the Mark Levin show that you can't find it anywhere.
It's been scrubbed.
But I know. I've got a friend that saved it, and we're going to try to pull that up and play it because the entire episode's hilarious. all of the Trump supporters got on Levin's social media and were trolling him and saying all these anti-Semitic things about Levin, and he was kvetching, and it was hilarious. Was saying,
cool it with the anti-Semitic made it all worse,
and it was just funny.
Yep. Okay.
Mark Levin. Oh God. Oh God. That's how he talks.
But, yeah, he talks. He is a caricature of his own stereotype.
But then sometimes I get on Rush Limbaugh, and that's a different strategy. Rush has, they claim an audience of 13 million, but Rush says it's 24 million, and I think it's more like 30 million.
It could be 6 million. Give or take 6 million, right?
Well, think about if half the people that voted for Trump were listening to Rush. That's 30 million right there. I think that's very feasable. But at any rate, he has a large audience.
I've never been part of the audience. I've barely ever heard him, so this will be interesting for me. I know what his voice sounds like.
Yeah. Well, and his audience are people that we can win over, and we can red pill. We can put those little pills out there. And so last October, last year, when the Saudi Arabian journalist Khashoggi was cut up into pieces, that was a big talking point. So I called into the Rush Limbaugh show, and I asked the question. I'm like, well, why are we even allies with Saudi Arabia since they did 9/11? Well, that's what I told the call screener. When I got actually on the program, I was able to sneak in the question. Also, we're allies with Israel. So how can we be allies with Israel when they did the USS Liberty and the Levant affair? Got that question out to Rush, and he totally deflected the Israel part. But it was interesting to hear, and I tried to find that on audio on the internet, and that's been memory hold. But fortunately, Farron Shoah from the alternative media on Republic Broadcasting Network documented this call.
All right. Well, I think Mr. T has that clip queued up, so let's take a listen.
Limbaugh. It starts 1 hour, 1 minute, 25 seconds into the video, and then it plays to the end. Now, we'll discuss it after we listen to the clip, but one, I want you to take note of the information that Jeremy gets out to the, and I looked this up, this may be all wet, it may be more, it may be less, but they report that Rush Limbaugh has roughly 13 million listeners. I think he's on over 800 radio stations. I'll tell you a little tidbit. I just happen to know they pay Rush Limbaugh to play. If you own a radio station, they pay Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh doesn't provide it for free or pay them. They pay Rush Limbaugh. And they pay if they want to stream Rush Limbaugh. But I don't know how it is in your area, but in this area, lots of people, whether you know you love Rush Limbaugh, hate Rush Limbaugh, or somewhere in between, lots of people listen to Rush Limbaugh. I think it's the most listened to radio broadcast in America, probably hands down. But one, I want you to listen to the information, the words that Jeremy was able to get out to this audience. And if you look at the video, it's showing, you know, they film Rush Limbaugh. As soon as Rush gets into his answer, which he totally deflects half the question that Jeremy put forth, but they take the video, it goes to just a solid picture of, like, Rush or the EIB logo. I think it's the EIB logo, whatever. So you don't get to see his facial expressions as he's answering this question. And hopefully next hour we get into phone calls if Jeremy's available. I would love to hear the interaction he got as a response maybe at the end of this from Snerdly, or just how he went about getting on. But that's totally up to him whether he would want to discuss that. But let's go ahead and play. Again, this is about 8 minutes, but we'll talk about it at the end. Let's go ahead and play clip one, Rush Limbaugh, Sam.
Again, Todd, this is Jeremy in Mayfield, Kentucky. You are next on Open Line Friday. Hi.
Thanks for taking my call, Rush. Am I coming in loud and clear?
You are, sir. Hear you just fine.
Thanks. It's a $60 Samsung, so, you know, whatever. But, yeah, you know, I'm a...
Well, we all have our obstacles to bear in life, and you're overcoming this pretty well. I hear you pretty well.
Thank you. You know, I'm a Trump. I voted for Trump. I'm an avid Trump voter, and I'm America First in the most historic sense. And I'm an American patriot. So take that in context with my question here. How can the United States be allies with countries? And you mentioned this in the first part of your monologue. We're allies with Saudi Arabia and Israel. How can we be allies with Saudi Arabia when the Pentagon Papers released in 2016 showed that they funded 9/11? Also, Israel has attacked us in the past, like USS Liberty, the Levant affair. Can you clear that up for me?
Well, on the Saudi side, yeah. The Israeli spy on us, too. Everybody spies on everybody. Jonathan Pollard, he was an Israeli spy that got caught, and the Israelis wanted him back unharmed. We said, screw you. You know, we're your benefactor. You don't spy on us. And they said, yes, we do. And we're going to continue to spy because we can't trust anybody. We're Israel. And particularly when Democrats are in the White House, that's a factor. Now, when it comes to the Saudis, I want to share with you, because your question here is really good. I remember after 9/11 happened, when I learned that...
What's up with Rush?
The Saudi government supposedly is an ally, and yet these hijackers come from Saudi Arabia. So are you saying the Saudi royal family is behind this? I said, how can we say that they're not? That is when I began to try to learn about the relationship to the Saudi royal family to Islam.
Okay, do we...
Asking experts.
Yeah, go ahead and shut it off.
And one of the people I talked to was Andy All McCarthy right. again because he has tried...
Okay, so we've got that far. Now, okay, so that's as much as he said about Israel? It was something.
That's it.
I mean, it was something, and he brought up Jonathan Pollard without being prompted.
It was actually truthful. He said Israel does what they want. I mean, where's the lie?
Yeah. Yeah, and he brought up Pollard on his own. Now, he did say something weird, like, well, they spy on us, and especially when a Democrat's in office, that's a factor. Well, Pollard was, that was when Reagan was in office.
Yeah, busted again, Rush. It doesn't matter who's in office. Israel does what they want.
Yeah, and, you know, so, is it that, oh, well, because the Democrats are so anti-Semitic? Is that what he was getting at? Because that's how it sounded to me.
They don't have the American exceptionalism.
Yeah, because Obama's a secret Muslim.
Yes. Yeah. So, none. We'll spare the audience the rest of Rush Limbaugh's monologue there. But he basically goes on about Saudi Arabia. He only spends a few minutes on Israel because he wasn't ready for the question.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't anticipate me asking about Israel because I did not tell the call screener that I was asking about Israel. I just told him I was asking about Saudi Arabia. So Rush goes on for 7.5 minutes about how Saudi Arabia has this new prince and he's more liberal and we're going to work with him. And it's different now than it was when Saudi Arabia did 9/11. That's basically what he says.
Oh, yeah, because of MBS.
Oh.
Mohammed bin Salman.
Yeah, oh. Yeah. So, but the point is that I got millions and millions of Rush listeners to Google USS Liberty. That's the point.
And he got people to look into the Jonathan Pollard affair.
Yeah, I mean, Rush knew exactly what I was doing. And as soon as I said that, I was directed to the call screener, who is the totally based black guy, Mr. Schnerdley, who I like to refer to as R. Rush's Uncle Tom. And he said, you know, you didn't tell me you were going to ask about the Israel thing.
Oh, yeah.
Your number is flagged. I basically got banned from calling into Rush again. So if I ever call in, it's got to be from another number and an alias.
Okay. You're not allowed. This is actually really important because you're not allowed to ask Rush about Israel. If you had told Schnerdley, Is that his real name, or why do people say Snurdly?
I mean, as far as that's what his name is.
Okay.
That may not be.
So if you call, if you had told,
he's a fly guy.
Okay. If you had called, told Snurdly it was about Israel, he wouldn't have put you on in the first place. And then if you if you pop Israel in there, then you get banned.
Yeah, and see, you got to be strategic about this because they're on a delay.
Uh-huh.
So if I would have said that too early, they could have just scrapped the whole phone call.
Right.
But so I made sure that I did small talk with Rush, like about the phone. I was on a Samsung. Well, he's a big Apple guy, right?
Uh-huh.
So that, you know, I knew that that would put a little conversation out there. So I made sure that if they did scrap my call, it would sound weird because I was on there for long enough to be on the show.
Do you have any idea how many seconds their delay is?
I don't know, but I want to say 30 to 45.
Uh-huh.
But I wasted enough time that it would have sounded weird if they would have scrapped it. So point of strategy there. But I wanted to get the Rush Limbaugh audience, you know, red-pilled. I wanted them to Google the USS Liberty and to figure out what this is all about. So, you know, hopefully that worked. And, you know, just a couple of days ago, Rush Limbaugh actually did mention something about how the American public, the Christian American public, has been beguiled into going into wars in the Middle East because of their Christian values in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Did you happen to see that transcript that I sent you?
No, I have not, so I'll take a look at it.
Yeah. So this was a couple of days ago.
Okay, I've got it up now. So why don't you read the key excerpt?
So this is Rush Limbaugh a couple of days ago on his broadcast, and I've sent you the transcript.
Mm-hmm.
Rush is basically saying that he is going anti-war. He's backing Trump on withdrawing troops from Syria, and he's saying that the establishment is using our pro-Christian values to keep us in war. To quote Rush Limbaugh, quote, "They count on us loving our country because we do. And they count on most of us to unilaterally support the military because we do. They even count on our Christianity as an aspect of promulgating and promoting the certain aspects of foreign policy. The belief in Christianity that Israel, for example, is sacred. They take advantage of that too."
And when he says they, who's he referring? He's got to be referring to Jews, right? Or is he? Is it something else? Is it neocons? Patrick. Is it globalists?
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks.
Is they globalists? Are they globalists?
The establishment.
Establishment.
Yeah. So they. The establishment, according to Rush Limbaugh, officially use our Christianity and our allegiance to Israel to wage war in the Middle East. That's what Rush said. I'm reading it right off of his transcript. Mm-hmm. Anybody can pull it up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's pretty interesting because although I haven't listened to him, I don't think I'm mistaken when I say that he has been very neocon for many, many years, right?
That's correct, but we're forcing him.
Mm-hmm.
We, the alt-right, RBN, Daily Stormer, TRS, anything that you consider art, we're forcing people like Rush Limbaugh to discuss this. We memed Tulsi onto the debate stage, and she is forcing people to discuss war in the Middle East.
Okay.
And how that,
well, let's talk about that right after the break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We are back. So, we're talking about Rush Limbaugh, and Rush Limbaugh is starting to talk about Israel in a way that he wouldn't have before. And, you had a little role in that. Tulsi Gabbard has been in the news a lot. She was in the debates last week and responded to something Hillary Clinton had said. Hillary Clinton had been quoted as calling her, potentially a Russian agent, a spy for Russia, an asset. She called her an asset. And she responded to that in the debate, and that caused a bit of a brouhaha. And then over the weekend, Dr. Duke, the response from the establishment was to have people say, yeah, but David Duke likes you, so you're a racist. And then Dr. Duke was trending number 7 in the world at one point over the weekend, had his own Twitter shut down for whatever reason. So that's led to other, with the various smears against Tulsi, then Donald Trump came out in her defense and Bernie Sanders came out in her defense. So, we've got a lot of stuff going on there, don't we?
We do. That's interesting that Bernie's getting her back on this. He's totally a warmonger, ordinarily. He tries to portray someone who's anti-war, but really his record indicates otherwise. If you want to check out Ryan Dawson's clip on taking Bernie Sanders to the woodshed, He exposes this very well.
Yeah, Bernie has a very anti-war following, and I guess they figure, well, he's a 78-year-old Jewish socialist. He's got to be against war. I don't know what the logic really is, but it's amazing. Well, he's, you know, he can go on from time to time. He can go on Democracy Now and criticize some of Israel's excesses. But, you know, he also went on the O'Reilly Factor right before, while O'Reilly was still a thing. This was 2016? I think it was March of 2016. And he was calling for freezing Russian assets all over the world, everywhere, all over the world, freezing their assets, which goes far beyond any sanctions that the Obama administration or the Trump administration has done. And even O'Reilly was like, whoa, wait a minute, Senator, don't you think that, you know, Putin's not just going to sit for that? So he's not a dove, but does have that kind of reputation. Perhaps because he has that reputation, maybe felt that he had the come to Tulsi's defense. But, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think he's doing this more to keep the Democratic Party together than anything else. Tulsi seems to be wanting to take a chunk of the Democratic Party away, or just kind of reestablish it to what it was. The article that we're in question here that we're discussing, it has a tweet where basically Tulsi says, "Hillary and her gang of rich, powerful elite are going after me to send a message to you. Shut up, toe the line, or be destroyed. But we, the people, will not be silenced. Join me in taking our Democratic Party back and lead government of, by, and for the people." Very populist message.
Yeah, and there's been question about, this is what Hillary was insinuating, that she is being set up by the Russians to be a third party. Because, of course, the only way that Hillary Clinton could have been beaten was by having a third party in the mix, and that was the Green Party, Jill Stein, the Green Party, and that's why she lost the election.
She didn't lose because she was like pathetic and like had horrible policies. No,
and of course the Green Party actually wasn't the third party; they were the fourth party. Libertarian Party, which got a lot more votes. I don't know, it might have been double the votes. It was something like double the votes. And they typically draw from people who otherwise might vote Republican. But, you know, honestly, I think that in our current year, in our current era, people who vote third party really don't like either of the establishment parties. And I think the second choice of most Green Party voters wouldn't have been Hillary, that they were consciously voting against Hillary. Their second choice probably would have been Gary Johnson and the Libertarian Party, and vice versa. I think, you know, people who vote for these third parties don't want to vote. People in a close election where you know the winner is either going to be Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, You're not there thinking, should I vote for Donald Trump or a third party? Or should I vote for Hillary Clinton or a third party? If you're voting third party, you've already said Donald Trump, I don't care whether it's Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. And you're just trying to make a statement. I really think that's the case. I know, because I voted for third party most elections.
And, exactly, the Ross Perot effect, right, of the early 90s.
Yeah, well, and it's ironic that Hillary would talk about third parties. Oh, we're going off the break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, gang,
Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, we are back, and I was just saying before the break, it's ironic that Hillary Clinton would say the only way they could have beat me was with a third party. Her own husband never got a majority of the vote. Her own husband was elected twice, and it's very possible that had it not been for Ross Perot, who was a big-time vote getter, much, much bigger than Jill Stein and Gary Johnson combined, in both of those elections, without Ross Perot, would Clinton have been elected and reelected? Probably, but who knows? Ross Perot got 19% of the vote in 1992. He was a massive factor in the campaign, and I think he got about 7% of the vote 4 years later. So there's a little bit of an irony there.
Perhaps that's what Bernie's trying to avoid here. He's trying to keep the people together, keep the party together, and not letting Tulsi, separate it like this. Because he came to her defense really, very well. I was very pleased with what he said. Basically, he said that she put her life on her line, and people can disagree with her, but to say that she's a foreign asset is outrageous. So that was the words of Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
Probably just due to damage control. I don't think he really cares about Tulsi.
And then, of course, there's the, she's obviously not a Russian asset. I wouldn't mind having a bunch of Russian assets because I like Vladimir Putin. I like Vladimir Putin a lot more than any of our politicians. And if there was a politician out there getting his or her instructions from Vladimir Putin, I would be very much inclined to vote for that person because that would be awesome as far as I'm concerned. I'd rather be ruled over by Vladimir Putin than by Shlomo, you know? So that would be fine with me, but it's not the case. None of these people are receiving their instructions from Russia, and Russia's not in a position to deliver the election to anybody. And, you know, when you look at the FEC filings, the Federal Election Commission filings, and how much money these people are raising, Tulsi's not raising much money. She is getting the prerequisite number of unique individual donors, but these are people who are donating just a couple of dollars to keep her on the debate stage. You know, Yang is raising pretty significant money, and But I Judge is he's raising really big-time money. So is Warren. So is Sanders. So these people are raising a lot of money. Tulsi's fundraising is very low, like an insurgent candidate. It's very low. So what possible help is Russia and Vladimir Putin doing for her, unless it's bots like you and me? You know, are we the that support that you know, that Russian support that Hillary was referring to? Is it us?
Are you offering me a spot in the KGB? Because it's kind of flattering, actually.
No, I wish I could. That would be awesome. If it would be awesome. No, I'm struggling myself, and you know, I would say, like Donald Trump. You know, Donald Trump said, you know, Russia, if you're out there and you're listening, please find those emails of Hillary Clinton. You know, he said that, which was funny enough. And you know, now you unironically have these Democrats using that one quote as grounds for impeachment. Okay, so you know, I would joke about the KGB. It would be nice to have some money, but you know, pay some bills. But anyway, they're not. I don't think they're out there listening to this show. I think the ADL is a lot more likely to be listening to this show than the KGB.
Exactly, yeah. I'm sure we have our own special ADL agents assigned, and we have thick files built on us so far. But it's interesting the populist response to this Russian conspiracy. Back when Trump won the election, you know, the meme that the left was trying to put out was, oh, Trump won because of Russian support, Russian interference, and the response that I saw in social media was basically people were saying, thanks, Putin, you know, thanks for getting Trump in for us. That was, I mean, you know, definitely tongue-in-cheek there, but they don't care. They didn't care. Like, if Russia did help in getting Trump in office, they were glad. So, but I don't think people really believed it. I think that's why they were saying things like that. Mm-hmm. Nobody's buying this. This is obviously tinfoil, reaching tinfoil hat levels that shouldn't even be possible, basically, with this conspiracy.
Yeah. So for those of the people out in the audience who a few days ago saw Jill Stein come on Tucker's show, and Jill Stein, you know, she was talking about accusations that she was facing of being a Russian agent, which stemmed from a photograph of her sitting at a table with Vladimir Putin. And I know the backstory of that. Jill Stein had been over in Russia, in Moscow, for, I guess it was the RT. It was some sort of event that was associated with RT. You know, it was commemorating their founding or something. It was some sort of media event. And there were a lot of people there, from the media and from politics around the world. She was sitting at the head table, which I guess was the table of the RT president or whatever. But she was at the head table. So was General Flynn. General Flynn was at the head table. And so and nobody was expecting Vladimir Putin to come and have a little photo op there. Vladimir Putin showed up at the event for a few minutes, sat at the head table. Where else is he going to sit? He sat at the head table and was there for a few minutes and left. Now, because he was sitting next to or one or two seats down from General Flynn, this was part of what they got General Flynn on. at least not, maybe not in a legal sense, but in a media sense, they were, you know, showing pictures of him sitting at a table with Vladimir Putin. Now, first of all, the only reason Jill Stein and probably Vladimir Putin, Jill Stein and probably Michael Flynn were at that table was RT had invited Professor Stephen F. Cohen and his wife, Katrina Vandenhoover, who is the editor of The Nation magazine. They've known the RT people for a long, long time, and they were in Moscow, and I think they were in Moscow, but at any rate, they had been invited, and they had, because they had another event scheduled for that time, they had declined it, so they weren't at the head table. And so at least one of those head table seats got reassigned to Jill Stein, who's not prominent in Russia, not that prominent of a person, and presumably Michael Flynn got the other seat. Stephen F. Cohen has said that he knows for a fact from his own contacts that that Vladimir Putin did not know who General Flynn was, and only asked later, or was told later, you know, who was that American general there. So there's that. One other interesting tidbit. Jill Stein played a role. I don't know if you'd really call it a role. I don't know if you'd say how significant it was, but she actually played a role in the whole Russia hoax thing. In the days following the election and all the dismay over the election of Donald Trump, well, because she had been on the ballot in the states of Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin, and because those three states, their electoral votes when taken together, would have been enough to switch the election from Donald Trump to Hillary Clinton, she had standing because she was on the ballot, and because she had standing, she went and filed a request for a recount. So she got a recount going of those states, of three states that potentially could have switched the election from Trump to Hillary if those election results had been overturned. So she had a recount going, and she raised millions and millions of dollars from Hillary donors who were like, "Oh, maybe we can switch the election results." So she raised the money. She had a GoFundMe page up, and you know, she was aiming to get a couple $1 million because we need lawyers for this, and it was specified that any money left over could be used for voter anti-voter suppression projects, or this kind of project or that kind of project, which all of those projects would be the types of things that the Green Party does all the time and needs lawyers for. So I know that she did that. She did that, and that helped start off the whole Russia hoax thing, because she was saying, "Well, we have to have a recount to make sure that we didn't have Russian influence in the elections. Go look and make sure the voting machines weren't hacked, because that's what the story was at first. The Russians hacked the voting machines." Of course, now then they had to back off of that. Now they're just saying they invaded our democracy without being specific. But I just wanted to. I wanted people to know that background about Jill Stein. I kind of resent Jill Stein for that. She is Jewish, and she did actually water down the BDS plank of the Green Party platform. So I just wanted to bring that out.
Well, yeah, there's a line being drawn in the sand, too. I mean, anybody that is for getting out of Syria and leaving that to the Syrian government is now in league with Russia. They want their Russian asset, and that line's being drawn. It's forcing the Democratic Party to come to the side of Tulsi, who would be considered now, I guess, an outsider, or to
an insurgent,
toe the line, an insurgent, mm-hmm. Or to toe the line of the Democratic establishment. So people in the Democratic Party are having to choose, just like people on our side of defense, are having to choose between supporting the president and withdrawing troops or supporting the neocons. And if you support withdrawing troops from Syria, you're a Russian asset. That kind of maybe is a good way to segue to this whole impeachment process. As we were talking here, I had the news pulled up and articles coming in. There seems to be a dark development in the impeachment process here in an article. Don't know if you had a chance to actually look at it because it was just...
looking at it right now.
Yeah, it's apparently there was a top diplomat named Bill Taylor to the Ukraine. And he is now going to be a witness to basically saying that Trump did offer a quid pro quo to Ukraine, saying we will not give you money unless you investigate Joe Biden. So this is interesting. Now it seems like they're calling this a smoking gun.
Mm-hmm.
And with this guy's testimony, you know, I know that they're impeachment. They're serious about impeachment.
With rise in innovative learning, every student.
But the fact that they're serious is not a question. They're going to push through with this with everything they have. And this new witness might just be a powerful tool indeed that they've come out with.
So, you know, the whole quid pro quo argument, I don't think that there is anything illegal about that. First of all, the Donald Trump was elected on a platform of improving relations with Russia. I mean, that was pretty much the center point of his foreign policy was we can get along with these people. Why can't we get along with them? And sending this, $400 million worth of military equipment to Ukraine so that they could fight against Russia, this was not Trump's foreign policy. And so, why should he be expected to, without question, without delay, without screening, without anything, just violate his own foreign policy and send this stuff to Ukraine unquestioningly, just because Congress appropriates money. But you look at President Nixon's administration. Nixon regularly did not spend the money that was appropriated for this program or that program because he didn't want to. And Congress can appropriate money, but the executive branch, the president, is under no obligation to spend the money that's been appropriated. So he was under no obligation to send that money. And if he thinks it violates it violates his own priorities in foreign policy, he's under no obligation to send it. So there's nothing wrong in him holding up aid or not sending aid that Congress has appropriated if he doesn't want to. There's nothing wrong with that. And quid pro quo, I don't think that's illegal. I don't think there's anything illegal about if he were to say, I want you to investigate possible wrongdoings by Americans as a condition for this.
Right. The illegality would be if he openly said, I want you to take out this guy because he is a threat to me and my campaign. If it could be proven.
I don't even know if that would be illegal. I don't know if that's illegal.
If he's using his power to, take out another political candidate, I was thinking that was the actual part. That's what they were going to try to get.
Trying to get, but of course... This is exactly what the Obama administration did to Trump. You know, Obama administration paid this guy, Christopher Steele, who initially was being paid, I don't know who was initially paying him, but they paid this guy, they paid their own agents to go over and talk to, they had an investigation going on with federal money into these bogus allegations against President Trump, and had a whole investigation going on. They were paying. Christopher Steele was foreign. Sometimes you'll hear Tucker or Hannity say that, yeah, Christopher Steele, he was getting dirt from the Russians. They're building up a whole Russian aspect. Actually, Christopher Steele was probably getting this bogus information. It's probably coming from John Brennan at the CIA. It probably was not coming from anybody in Russia. But, Christopher Steele was a foreigner. And then, the whole idea that this would be unprecedented, And the other thing is the alleged wrongdoings in the Steele dossier were complete fabrications. The alleged wrongdoings by Biden and his son in Ukraine are matters of public record. Nobody's denying that Hunter Biden got what $900,000 or whatever it was. He got a huge amount of money for sitting on the board of a Ukrainian gas company when he has absolutely no expertise in the area. So, you know, so I don't know. I don't know.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones. Please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now to Angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or to speak with a trained consultant, give Angioprim a call at 954-882-7221. That's 954-882-7221.
When he has absolutely no expertise in the area. So, you know, so I don't know. I don't know. You never know.
Of course, what Obama did was illegal. Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what Obama did. I mean, was it illegal or not? I don't know. But they're saying that it is. It's what they tried to get. It's what they threatened Nixon with, you know, to make him resign. And I guess just Nixon just didn't have the wherewithal or the power to even want to try to fight that.
Well, Nixon fought it until it was clear that he was going to lose anyway.
Right. I mean, I think he could have won it if he would have had maybe the assets that Trump had. But apparently, you know, he, as you mentioned, he reached a point where he was just didn't feel like he could go anymore with it, and he wanted to avoid jail time. So I think that's what they're really wanting with Trump. They want the threat. they want to try to make Trump resign, I think is really what they want. And they're trying to, you know, get him tried in the court of public opinion. If they feel like they can get the Republican senators to feel that they have, that their constituents will let them, you know, that's what they want, is the court of public opinion. This is all just a publicity thing. Mm-hmm. There's no real there. There's no real legality, illegality there. And it's a lot of gray areas. But that's what it seems to me like, is they're trying to convince the public of this, to try to sway the public opinion against Trump.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe their pipe dream is that we're going to get Trump impeached, or we're going to push him to resign the way Nixon resigned. But the way their calculus is going to go is, well, what happens if you don't get that pipe dream? Well, what happens if they don't get the pipe dream? Well, so far, by pushing for this type of stuff, what have they done? They've been able to hamstring the Trump presidency. They've been able to keep him from developing any meaningful relation with Vladimir Putin. That whole Russia hoax aspect, and of course this Ukraine hoax aspect, is going to do the same type of thing. It prevents Donald Trump from establishing a constructive relationship with Vladimir Putin. So he's had, you know, one official summit meeting with Vladimir Putin, and it was called treasonous, literally called treasonous, by, you know, Brennan and all these other people. If the calculus was, oh, well, this could backfire, then they wouldn't do it. But what's the backfire? You know, they're, even if it doesn't work in terms of, well, so for Nancy Pelosi, the tactic of actually having an impeachment inquiry could backfire by motivating voters. And that's why I think she was hesitant to do it. But at this point, I don't know. Is this going to motivate Trump's voters? Was Nancy Pelosi right to delay this for as long as she did? And did she make a mistake by giving in, maybe thinking, well, it'll get, if at least it'll clear Biden out of the way, and maybe we'll have a better candidate. What do you think? Because we only have a couple minutes left. But what do you think about?
She definitely made a huge mistake, and she knows that Nancy Pelosi's very intelligent. She didn't get to that position by being stupid, and she hasn't held on this long by being stupid. And she understands very fully that her base wants blood; they want impeachment. But all she has done is rally the MAGAPEDs and galvanize them even further. I mean, proof is that the day that they started this impeachment talk, Trump's campaign raised millions of dollars that very day. So, and everybody started talking about, well, if you impeach Trump, then you're going to have to answer to us. So the evangelical right comes out and says that there could very well be a revolution, which was very tough talk for those Christians. But it really has galvanized his supporters, and maybe even people that wouldn't have considered themselves hardcore Trump supporters before.
Okay. Well, that's all the time we have today, but thank you so much, Jeremy, for coming on the Patrick and Jeremy Show, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.